Well, thank you. Thank you for inviting us. It's good to be here with you this morning. It's always good to be in the Lord's house with other believers. Most of you probably know about Teen Challenge, something about Teen Challenge. Maybe you know a lot about it. But this morning we'll be showing you a couple of DVDs to explain it a little further. We're going to ask a couple of our students to share their testimonies with you this morning, and they're going to sing. They're going to sing a couple of songs, and we have been blessed by having a man who can sing and sing well, so he's going to do a solo for you this morning, too. Yes, my name's Brian. I have been a Teen Challenge about 6 years now. It's taken me a little longer to graduate than most of the guys, you know. But that's a joke, by the way. You know, my wife tells me my humor is pretty hard to find, you know. But it's a 12-month program, and we're located just past, just before the Root River Golf Club. It's a residential program, and it consists of primarily two components. One is biblical education, and the other is work detail. And what I do there is I'm the teacher and the life coach. And what we do is teach God's Word and how it applies to your life. So the life coaching and the teaching go well together. Most rehab centers just deal with the addiction and get you clean and sober, and then they say, well, head out. What we do at Teen Challenge, you see, Jesus Christ is the center of Teen Challenge. If it wasn't for Jesus, we'd just be like any other rehab center. So the difference is that, you know, we examine these young men's lives. We look at, most of them come in either in rejection or in rebellion, or sometimes a bit of both. And what we do is look at their lives as a series of building blocks from when they were young kids, and how they got to where they got to today, how they developed their personality today. And we examine that, and we see what the Bible has to say about the way you ought to think about things, the attitude you ought to have about things. So we help them with those root causes, because the drugs and alcohol is just a surface issue. It's just a way of covering the pain that these young men are experiencing in their lives. So we dig down, and with the Lord's help, He reveals the truth to them. And the first part of the program is we put a lot of emphasis on introducing them to the Lord. And that's so important. And when a man really understands how much God loves him, it changes his whole perspective on himself and on others as well. And we've seen whole families restored through the obedience of one man. So I think I wanted to start with a video this morning. The first video is kind of just a quick overview of Teen Challenge, and it'll just set the stage for you. Okay, thank you.
The slogan was, in those days,
once a junkie,
always a drug addict.
The only way out is through death or life in prison.
We had a 40-year war against drugs, and drugs had been winning.
The story that began 50 years ago.
After you listen to a lie for a long time, you begin to believe the lie, and then you actually become the lie.
Hear firsthand the desperate true stories.
The only way to live a little longer in this life, become an addict.
I walked out in front of the bus.
I just helped kill my brother.
Before I knew it, I was strung out on heroin.
I just can't take it. I need a fix.
I was convinced I was going to die before I got 20 years old.
I pulled out the knife. I didn't even think twice.
Look in his eyes and see just a death.
I was sleeping in subway stations.
You never knew who was going to come back alive.
You just spiraled in it so fast.
Sometimes you don't care if you live or die.
Only God can do this. And they got down on their knees and prayed.
And so I said, God, if you're real,
give me a new mind. Give me a new heart.
It was like I could feel something like scrubbing me from the inside out.
It's the Holy Spirit that is working within your life.
Relive some of the most powerful stories of our time.
When you rescue somebody and their lives are dramatic change, how can you argue with that?
There's miracles taking place. This is the only other way to say it. There's miracles happening. We've heard mothers say, I have my son back. I have my daughter back.
We believe that Jesus Christ is the answer and the cure for people's life-controlling issues.
Teen Challenge, 50 years of miracles.
Hope lives here, freedom is found here, and change lies lead here.
That is so true. Change lies leave Teen Challenge. When I went to Teen Challenge, I was retired, and my wife and I had a business on St. Joseph Island, and God called me one night. He called me clearly to go there because I'd been sponsoring Teen Challenge, and but I did, I thought I'm going to go there. I did a little teaching at Sioux College, so I thought, well, I'll go and see what I can do to help these guys, and I didn't realize how blessed I would be, and it's just my life has just been impacted profoundly by being there. I think that it's the seeing the miracles that's so awesome. And if anyone, we mentioned Easter, and if anyone needs proof of that Jesus is alive, just come and spend the day at Teen Challenge. Okay, now I wanted to, come on up, guys. We're going to bring the whole crew up, let them introduce themselves to you. We have five men with us today. That's what we travel with recently. We've been traveling with five fellows. And actually, the rest of our men are here this morning, too. They came along to worship with you folks this morning and be part of the service. So I'll turn it over to these fellows. Go ahead, guys.
Good morning. My name is Devin. I'm 20 years old from Earlton, Ontario. I was addicted to marijuana, but since Jesus gave me his life, I was able to get my back.
Good morning, everybody. My name is John. I'm 20 years of age. I'm from Newmarket, Ontario. I suffer from a big crack cocaine addiction, and I've been here going on five months, and God's doing miracles in my life.
I'm Tyler. I'm 21 years old from London, Ontario. I was addicted to Oxycontin, but by God's grace, I'm free from my addiction.
Hi, my name is Junior Crawford. I'm 29 years old. I came to Teen Challenge with a severe addiction to crack cocaine, but thanks to God's help, I'm taking it one day at a time.
Good morning, my name is Matthew. I'm 24 years old. I'm from Woodstock, Ontario. I suffered with an addiction to Oxycontin for a very long time, but due to the powers of Jesus Christ that work within me, today I stand before you a new man with a new heart.
Will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? To my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. Yeah, I can only imagine. I can only imagine. When that day comes, when I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I will do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? To my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. Yeah, I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? To my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. Yeah, I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Yeah, I can only imagine.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, guys. Sounds better every time I hear it. Not bad for a bunch of guys that, as my boss says, a bunch of ex-drug addicts. Yeah, they sound pretty good. The one other thing I wanted to mention, one of my other parts of my job is I am in charge of the discipline board. We have, obviously, rules, a ton of rules. One of the guys used to share a testimony. He's graduated now, and he used to say that I don't know, maybe it was you, Matt, used to share that when you got the package in the mail, you thought, I'll never fill out this application, it's this thick. But then you realize the application's one page, the rest is all the rules, you have to follow a teen challenge. So, but, you know, most of these young men haven't had any structure in their life or very little of it, no boundaries whatsoever, and God didn't make us to live that way. He made us to live in a structured environment with boundaries and to be obedient to Him. So the rules play a good part, but we, it's discipline, it's not punishment, because discipline has a hope of change, a hope of teaching and growth, and that's what we do. We just take away privileges like coffee and dessert, you know. That's pretty tough on these guys, the dessert part. But and if you're having trouble with controlling your mouth and your tongue, we put you on a word fast. Anybody ever try to spend a whole day not talking? Try it sometime. You'd be amazed what you learn when you stop talking and start listening, right? Okay, I'm going to ask Devin to come up now and share his testimony.
I'm not much of a public speaker in school. I either skipped or played sick. But Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So again, my name's Devin. I'm now 20 years old. And I was born in Timmins, but only remember being raised in Earlton and Kirkland Lake. Well, to start off, I didn't grow up in such a great family. My parents would always fight in front of me and my younger brother all the time. When I was young, I didn't know anything about God, because neither my parents or anybody I was ever around talked about Him. So I grew up knowing nothing about God. One day, my mom and dad, they separated while we were living in Earlton. I was about 10 or 11 when this had happened, so I didn't know what to say or what to do. I just didn't. I knew that it wasn't my fault. They would fight day and night about things, like normal couples would do. So I thought now that my dad was gone, I'd get the double gifts for Christmas and my birthday. But that never happened. I ended up moving to my dad's when I was 12, and he had met another woman and they had a baby, so I was the oldest out of all the kids. So when things went wrong or got broken, I was the one to get in trouble. My dad was a drinker, so that made everything worse. When I would get into trouble, he would hit me and call me names, and that really hurt me as a kid. I just started to make friends at my dad's house because I wasn't the coolest kid in school. So me and my friends as kids, we would play fight in the backyards. But before we would start play fighting, they would smoke some marijuana out of a glass pipe. I would ask them what that does for you, and they said it. So I don't feel the physical pain when you hit me. At that time, I was only smoking cigarettes, so this was my first time smoking marijuana. It wasn't the greatest feeling, but it was the only way I can get out of the physical pain when I got in trouble at home with my dad. This went on for about 5 years, and then I went back and lived with my mother. I was going back to school. I was 18, still smoking marijuana, and it was the starting of a new school year, and I noticed that there was a new girl in school. I was really shy to talk to her for the first couple days, but then I found out we had 3 classes together. I said to myself, what a better chance to get to know her and start hanging out. We would bump into each other at school every day, and then one day I asked if she'd go out for lunch, a walk for lunch. So at lunch, we went out and started talking, and she said that she was going to be in town for a little bit after school. So this gave me some time to build up courage to ask her out. I ended up asking her out after school, but she said that she wasn't ready for a relationship. But she said that she was going to be in town for a youth event that night in Englehart at the Living Way Church, where her and her family went every Sunday. So I went to the youth group that night, and I don't know what changed her mind, but we ended up together by the end of the night. That morning at school, or at lunch, I remember her saying that her and her family were moving to Earlton. I thought to myself that things couldn't get any better, but they did. I was still smoking marijuana at that time. She knew about it, but I didn't know if her parents did or not. I would never smoke it before going over to her house. I would only smoke it if I wanted to stay up or go to bed earlier. About 2 weeks after going out, I was having supper and hanging out with her and her family every day. We were dating for about 4 or 5 months, and we found out that she was pregnant. Her dad was nice enough to get me a job on a farm. We were dating, and then, no, this was going on to the last May, and I would go to church with her and her family every second Sunday, or whenever I felt like it. But there was this one Sunday that changed everything. Teen Challenge was there, and what do you know, Saturday night I'd come home from work, and there were 2 students billeting at her house that night. I met both of them after work that night, and we talked, and they told me how God has changed their lives. Amanda and her parents had told me about Teen Challenge before all this had happened, but I was debating about going because I didn't want to leave her while she was pregnant. But hearing what the Lord, our Savior, did in those young men's lives, and being in the program today, there's no doubt in my mind that this is the best gift I can give my first daughter and her mother. Since being in the program, Amanda, she had to go to her last couple ultrasounds with her mother, and the doctor said that the baby was going to end up having crooked feet. But I've been praying for a healthy baby girl, and on October 5th, 2011, Amanda gave birth to our beautiful daughter, Michaela, and she was born with perfect feet. That's how great and amazing God really is. I thank God each day for the miracle he has worked in Michaela's life. When I graduate Teen Challenge, I plan to go home, get my grade 12, and hopefully God can open a few doors for myself to help young people as he has done for me. A verse that I hold close is Romans 7:15. I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I do not do it. Instead, I do what I hate. It's true. I didn't really understand myself until I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Now, instead of doing what I hate, I'll be doing what I love with Jesus by my side. Thank you for listening to my story.
Yeah, I remember the first time I met Devin, and he's not the same guy now. the Lord's done an amazing thing in his life, and he's got a lot more to do yet, too, bro. You know, we call each other brothers, eh? And I think you all understand that, because this is a brethren church, right? You guys get that, right? Some churches I go to, they don't seem to get the brother thing, but I said, well, just it's all in here, you know? That's why we call ourselves brothers and sisters, right? And, yeah, we are, and there's no stronger bond than that, right? But, I just wanted to share a bit about, Devin talked about his addiction to marijuana, and one of the courses I teach has a number of brain scans in it, and it shows brain scan, you know, brain the results of activity in the brain. What the brain scan does is wherever there's no activity in the brain, it shows up as a hole in the brain. And when you compare, from what I could see anyway, the scan of a person that's been using cocaine for a year, 2 years, versus a 16-year-old that smokes marijuana twice a week, they look the same. The brains look the same. So I don't know what it is that, you know, what lie the devil's trying to put out there about marijuana being harmless or somehow not serious, because as far as I can see from medical records that I've looked at, it's just as serious as other drugs. So if anybody's telling you it's harmless, I think that's, you want to think about that, because it's not true. And it leads, if you know, it causes a lot of damage to your brain. And the brain will recover, but it's still a very serious, very serious addiction. I noticed recently that they're talking about, they're having this America's meeting where all the leaders from South America and North America are meeting, and the guys in Mexico and those countries down there, they have a lot of problems with the drug manufacturers, the cartels, so they want to legalize it. They want to legalize all this stuff to make it legal and of course, our prime minister's against that. We need to pray for him, you know, as he goes down there and meets, that they will listen to what he has to say, because that would be a terrible, terrible thing to happen. Okay, we're going to now, I think what we'll do is invite Matthew up. Come on up, bro. And if you come up here, maybe I can talk about you when you're standing beside me a little bit.
Sure.
Matthew just graduated a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
And he's an intern now with us at Teen Challenge. So it's good to have him with us on the road. He's going to share a song with you and also your testimony.
Who am I that the Lord of all the earth would care to know my name, would care to feel my hurt? Who am I that the bright and morning star would choose to light the way for my ever-wandering heart? Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly faded, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling. Lord, you catch me when I'm falling. And you've told me who I am. I am yours. I am yours.
Lord.
Who am I that the eyes that see my sin would look on me with love? watch me rise again. Who am I that the voice that calmed the sea would call out through the rain and calm the storm in me? Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling. Lord, you catch me when I'm falling, and you've told me who I am. I am yours. Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling. Lord, you catch me when I'm falling, and you've told me who I am. I am yours. I am yours. I am yours. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? 'Cause I am yours. I am yours. I am yours.
Thanks, guys. So good morning. I just want to say what an awesome opportunity it is to come here and be able to share my testimony. Sometimes, you know, we become complacent in our lives and we forget, you know, where we've come from or what we're doing or what our purpose is. Or sometimes, you know, personally, I believe that I can do it on my own. You know, I think that sometimes. But then I get a chance to share my testimony or hear a testimony from one of my brothers. And it's like, wow, you know, I've tried it on my own and it definitely didn't work. And the reason that things are changed now is because Jesus Christ is in my life. And that's such a blessing. I grew up in a loving home with both my parents. They cared for me very much, and by a worldly standpoint, I had basically everything that a kid could ever want. I put up a really good false front, though. On the outside, I played it off as everything was good, everything was great, but inside, I was fighting a battle. I couldn't really stand who I was. You know, I thought, you know, if I was only a little bit taller or faster or stronger, then everything would be okay. I had set such high standards for myself that they were basically unattainable. Public school and the beginning of high school was rough. I was always the smallest person in school. So when it came to, you know, field hockey teams, soccer, things like that, baseball, I was always the last kid on the field to get picked. When I did get picked, it seemed like it was out of pity. You know, there's only one kid left. Somebody's got to take him, so he might as well come over here. And I didn't get to play much. You know, that didn't really help my self-esteem. The beginning of high school is when things started to turn around for me, though. A group of the cool kids needed a place to hang out for the day. So I thought, this is my opportunity. If I invite them over to my house, then maybe I'll fit in. I knew it was wrong, and I knew my parents definitely wouldn't like that. But I skipped class, and I invited these kids over to my parents' house. We were hanging out, you know, doing things that high school kids do. We were playing Xbox, watching MTV, listening to music. Then one of the older kids, I think he was in grade 12, he grabbed my parents' glass coffee table, and he slid it up towards the couch. Pulled a bag of pills out of his pocket. Started crushing them up on the table. I knew they were drugs. I knew they were wrong.
but my desire to fit in was so great that there was absolutely no way I was going to say anything to these people for fear that they wouldn't like me and they'd end up leaving my house. That's the first time I tried OxyContin. For the few hours that I was high, I felt as if for the first time in my life that I'd fit in. I had found my place. You know, I belonged. I was one of the guys. They were in my house. They were hanging out with me, right? When I started to come off these drugs, I felt terrible. I had an upset stomach. I had a headache. My whole body hurt. I had all the guilt and remorse knowing that I just skipped school, broke my parents' trust. But I was more than willing to do that all over again, just to have those people hanging out with me, to have them in my house thinking that I was cool. I didn't even care if the pills made me sick. I continued using throughout high school, and I became heavily addicted. I needed a constant supply of these drugs, and where I'm from, OxyContin, it's up to $50 a pill, and my allowance just wasn't cutting it anymore because I was doing up to 5 of them a day. So I figured I'm going to come up with a plan. I got a good idea. I'm going to drop out of high school with one credit shy of getting my grade 12, and I'm going to get a job. Then I'm going to be able to have all the pills that I need to make myself feel adequate. So I dropped out. I ended up getting a job. So now living at home with no bills to pay, lots of money to spend, my using increased. I was using all the time. I was lying to my parents. I was refusing to tell them who I was with, what I was doing. I was making all kinds of money, but I had absolutely nothing to show for it. My parents caught on. I figured it was just the place that I'm living that's the problem. If I move out of Woodstock, then I'll be okay. So I moved in to London with my older brother, Mike. The withdrawals from going through not having this drug was by far the worst thing that I've ever experienced in my life. It felt like I was run over constantly, every day by a truck. I wanted to lay down. When I laid down, I wanted to get up. I was hot and cold sweats. I was sick to my stomach. It was just utter, complete. It was painful. I was able to quit the habit, though, just for a while, with my brother at my side and the support of my family. You see, I'd stopped using the drugs, but I still had all the underlying issues that caused me to use in the first place. I figured, okay, I'm okay, though. So I was living in London for a year, and I met a girl named Ashley. We started dating together, and I figured, all right, you know, it's time we move in together and move this to the next step. In the summer of 2007, Ashley became pregnant. I told myself, all right, I'm 20 years old now. I'm a mature adult. I'm a man. I'm ready to take on the world. I'm ready to be a dad. Truth is, I wasn't. When the reality of all that newfound responsibility set in, I resorted back to the only way of coping I knew how. I went back to OxyContin. My addiction picked up exactly where I'd left it. February 8th, 2008, Ashley gave birth to my son, Zach. I told myself, all right, I'll be able to quit for Ashley and my family. I'll be able to quit for Zach. I tried absolutely everything, and I just couldn't quit. I was hooked again. After 4 years of putting Ashley through this, she left. My thinking was so distorted at the time that I told myself, I no longer need to quit because my reasons for quitting just walked out the door. So my using spiraled out of control. I ended up getting caught using on the job, and I was fired. I still needed a constant supply of this medication, so I came up with another plan. Instead of buying the drugs, I'm going to start robbing drug dealers. I didn't care who I hurt or how I got my drugs. It was just all about me, and I needed them. The more I used, the more absent-minded and aggressive I became. My mom seen that I just didn't care anymore, and she was worried. That was the first time I heard about Teen Challenge. She told me that there was a 12-month faith-based drug and alcohol rehabilitation program that I could go to and get my life back. As soon as I heard 12 months, I stopped listening. There was no way I was about to give up a year of my life. I still wanted to be in control. So I took that control and continued to live life the way that I wanted to. I went to a drug dealer's house with absolutely no intention on paying him. I robbed him. We got in a fight. I ended up getting stabbed. He ended up getting hurt pretty bad. This was my first real run-in with the law. I was sentenced to 3 years probation, 200 hours community service, and I had to attend 2 16-week anger management courses. I figured it was the good lawyer that my parents had got me and my smooth talking that got me off so easy. I didn't realize that God was giving me yet another chance to turn from my wicked ways. I did what I had to do to satisfy the courts, and I continued to live life the way that I wanted to. I was the boss. I was in control. Well, me being the boss ended me up with 19 more charges. This time I wasn't getting off so easy. I was thrown in jail. This was the second time that I heard about Teen Challenge. My mom had mentioned that she'd talked with my lawyer. My lawyer had talked with the Crown. They came up with a deal that if I agreed to go to Teen Challenge, my mom would be able to bail me out and I'd be able to go. I didn't hear the go to Teen Challenge part. I heard mom's going to bail me out of jail. So my mom bailed me out of jail. I ended up breaching my bail. My motives were absolutely wrong. God knew it. I breached. I was thrown back in jail. Again, I called my mom on the phone. I manipulated the woman that loves me more than absolutely anything in this world. I lied to her again. I made her yet another empty promise. And I said, Mom, if you'll just bail me out this one more time, I promise you I'll go to Teen Challenge. My mom, loving me as she did, bailed me out of jail. Again, I breached. Again, I was thrown back in jail. My lawyer came down to my jail cell and he said, Matt, you know, it's over. The Crown Attorney has taken Teen Challenge off the table. You've been given chance after chance after chance, and you've just blown it. They're asking for 2 years in a federal prison for what you've done. I broke. Something inside me told me that I need to plead guilty to the crimes that I committed, accept responsibility for my actions, and realize that they had consequences. That's something that I'd never done before in all my life. I had no idea why I was about to do this. My lawyer was advising against it, but I stood up there in front of the judge, and I pled guilty to all 19 counts. There's no doubt in my mind that Jesus Christ was working in that courtroom that day, that he had his hand on the judge, because instead of being sentenced to prison, I was sentenced to come to Teen Challenge. The opportunity to get to come here was the most amazing blessing that I've ever experienced in my whole life. I was able to meet Jesus Christ, have a personal relationship with him, and not only have him as my Savior, but have him as the Lord of my life. Things aren't always easy, though. As Brother Brian said, there's a lot of rules. And what he failed to mention, that his wife, Sister Linda, is our intake coordinator. And that's what she does. She does the student life and intake, but she's also our shoulder to cry on when we get deep from Brother Brian. This program it's absolutely amazing. God has used this ministry to save my life. I wasn't sure what I was supposed to do after I graduated, and I prayed about it. I talked with the staff members, and just this internship, it fell into place. I believe that God's calling me into ministry, and I believe that Teen Challenge is just the beginning of my new life. A verse that I hold really close to my heart is Psalm 73, 21 to 26. Basically depicts what I've come from. It says, "And then I realized that my heart was bitter. I was all torn up inside. I was so foolish and ignorant. I must have seemed like a senseless animal to you. Yet I still belong to you. You hold my right hand, guiding me with your counsel, leading me to a glorious destiny. Whom have I in heaven but you? My health may fail, and my spirit may grow weak, but God remains the strength of my heart. He is mine forever." Thanks for listening to my story, guys.
Yeah, my wife does work there. She's been there a couple of years now. It's the first time we've had a female actually actively involved in the program, the operational program. We have a lady that's an administrative assistant to Dean, but and I was a little, I don't know, I've just wondered how it was going to work out, you know. But it's worked out really well. She, some days when she and I are driving home back to St. Joe, we talk about these 9 kids we've got, you know. Like, it seems like we've got this big family of young men. And we don't. It pretty well fills up our life, but it's a great ministry. I wanted to mention quickly about the golfing program that we have. We have a golf tournament coming up in July 7th. There's an insert in your bulletins, and that's how I came to know about Teen Challenge. They came to my church on the island about 7 or 8 years ago, and Dean said, if you're a golfer and you want to help us out, here's a great way. So I did. I started playing golf and raising pledges, and it's a great day. You know, it's at the Island Springs Golf Course. You get your breakfast, your lunch. It's a great supper we have, and there's a lot of prizes for all the participants. And so if you're a golfer, you don't have to be a golfer. It's a great way to just spend a day and raise money to help us run this program, because you know, we're not a government-funded agency, so we need all the help we can get. And I want to show you a video now that's about sponsorship of Teen Challenge. So we'll just put that up on the screen.
Drug use is on the rise in Canada. With dismal cure rates of 5% or less in most rehab programs, where do our young people for real help?
with a proven cure rate of over 70%. Teen Challenge has been opening our doors to young men struggling with life-controlling drug and alcohol problems for over 30 years.
Before coming to Teen Challenge, I was out of control, having parties, doing drugs.
So I just felt dead inside, didn't have any confidence in myself, very low self-esteem.
Teen Challenge meets the needs of the whole person, emotional, physical, and spiritual, through our year-long residential program. Aside from a small one-time entrance fee, our services are offered without charge. What's more, Teen Challenge operates without a dime of government funding. Our life-changing work is made possible only through the generosity of friends like you. If you believe in the work of Teen Challenge, please join us today as a monthly sponsor. You'll be giving a young man a safe place to sleep, nutritious meals, and, with God's help, a changed life forever.
When I was 13, I began using drugs, and soon after that, cocaine just took over my life. I was trapped. I had nowhere to go, nowhere to turn. And Teen Challenge was there.
As a Teen Challenge sponsor, you'll receive a photo of the young man you're helping and regular updates on his progress. Even more important, you'll have the satisfaction of knowing that you've helped a life find freedom from addiction.
Now I'm free and I have plans, a future, and a goal.
And I have a hope for a future. I just feel sure of myself.
I'll be coming out a new person.
Give a young man a second chance at life by becoming a sponsor today. Your generosity will help Teen Challenge continue to offer hope to those struggling with addiction. Together, we can open a door to a brighter future.
So that's how you can help us out by sponsoring a student. But today, we have a basket on our table in the lobby, and a couple of our young men will be there. And if you have some of your brochures, if you have a brochure, there's a sponsorship form in there. If you don't, we have them. But today, even if you can't sponsor us, sponsor a student, any way you can help us out today, if you're writing out a check, make it out to Teen Challenge. Whatever you can, whatever you can spare, whatever God puts on your heart to give today, we would appreciate that. And one thing I like to do sometimes is, I know some of our, three of these fellows just went into the second phase of the program. They're studying, they're in month five, which means they're in the teaching phase now. But, one of the things they do at Teen Challenge is they do a lot of chores around the house. They know how to wash dishes. They know how to vacuum. They know how to make the beds, do the laundry, dust, clean. They learn all these great skills. So I know, there's a couple of them are already, maybe have people like a wife back home. But I always say, if there's a young Christian woman that's looking for a well-trained Christian husband. Oh. Just a little commercial I put out there. Yeah. Okay, so we're going to close now. We're going to have the guys come up and do their closing number, and then we'll ask you to come up and close in prayer for us.
So I picked up a pen and a page, and I started writing just what I'd say if we were face to face. I tell you just what you mean to me, tell you these simple truths. Be strong in the Lord and never give up hope. You're gonna do great things, I already know. God's got His hand on you, so don't live life in fear. Forgive and forget, but don't forget why you're here. Take your time and pray. These are the words I would say. Last time we spoke, you said you were hurting, and I felt your pain in my heart. And I want to tell you that I keep on praying. Love will find you where you are. And I know, 'cause I've already been there. So please hear these simple truths. Be strong in the Lord and never give up hope. You're gonna do great things, I already know. God's got His hand on you, so don't live life in fear. Forgive and forget, but don't forget why you're here. Take your time and pray. These are the words I would say, from one simple life to another. I will say, come find peace in the Father. Be strong in the Lord and never give up hope. You're gonna do great things, I already know. God's got His hand on you, so don't live life in fear. Forgive and forget, but don't forget why you're here. Take your time and pray. Thank God for each day. His love will find a way. These are the words I would say.
Thanks, guys. Thank you very much for having us.
We're going to just pray with the guys here this morning. So, guys, let's gather around here and come on over here. And we can just do this together and commit our time and your future and all the things that Dean Challenge is doing to the Lord. Lord, we thank you for your grace and your amazing love. We thank you that you've come to preach to the brokenhearted, to give liberty to those that are captive, to those that are oppressed, and to give sight to the blind. And you've done this here with some of these men, and you're continuing to do this, Lord Jesus. We thank you for your love, and we just ask that you'll support Dean and Brian and the other administrators in this amazing work for you, and that you will continue to transform lives. For the work that you've started in these men's life, we ask that you will continue, that there'll be a light that's shining on a hill that cannot be hidden. There'll be salt to this world that needs to have taste, and that their life will change because of the power of the Holy Spirit in them, and that your word will be proclaimed from their lips. And Lord, we thank you again for each one. Thank you for their testimonies and for each one of us that are sitting in the audience just listening to this, and we're touched in our own souls to make things right with you in our lives. So Lord, we just again thank you, and we commit these men to you and for the work at Teen Challenge and for the work you do across the country with all the Teen Challenge offices. Lord, we give this back to you for your honor and for your glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
Amen.
God bless, guys. You are dismissed.